B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Obviously, we're going to be focused on Commanders OTAs today, but I watched that game last night, man. The Pacers are a problem, dude, and the Knicks are finding out the hard way. Joining us now is our friend from NBA TV, Mr. Chris Miles. Miles, you're a New Yorker, and we love you, but it sure looks like the Knicks run is coming to an end. What do you think of this Indy team?
Well, here's the thing, right? And that's a great question in this sense. I think whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference is going to get smacked up by whoever comes out of the Western Conference, which obviously looks like the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think the Pacers are kind of like the modern basketball of, look, you get a couple of really good defenders, you get a throwback point guard, and guys that can shoot at every position, including the center position and the power forward position, and you don't turn the ball over. And we're kind of seeing like the basic take care of the basketball, play good defense, hit open shots. As simple as that sounds, the Pacers don't have an Anthony Edwards, right? Like, I love Tyrese Halliburton, but when you think of all-time great players, he doesn't really wet your beak. But they're winning because they play smart, intelligent, and disciplined basketball.
So I want to follow up on that because I hear what you're saying about Halliburton, and he doesn't get mentioned like other players. And yet last night he drops a triple-double with no turnovers, which is pretty damn unheard of. And I thought the most impressive play he made, he had a steal late in the fourth quarter as the Knicks were kind of hot. And the defense, the length he has. Like, do we need to change how we talk about Halliburton?
Talk about him. And I think a lot of people talk about him today, right? Mitch.
Yeah,
Chris, so, I forgot you were here, man. I thought he was asking me a question.
So here's the deal, right? The way I look at Halliburton is he's a true point guard for today's NBA. But when you think of, like, let's say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? Like, if he has 14 points one game, you know he's coming back the next game to give you 40 and 10. With Halliburton, if you're playing disciplined defense, and you're on your assignments, he's not having that kind of game. Halliburton takes advantage of your mistakes, and really, he doesn't make mistakes. You know, JP, it's like, imagine a quarterback that's the perfect game manager, and I mean perfect across the board, but you know he's not Jaden Daniels, right? Like, you know you don't have that guy. I feel like that's the way that players look at Halliburton. When I watch him, I appreciate him. Look, here's a stat for him. First player in NBA history. You know how we always have the caveats? No caveat right here. First player in NBA history to 500 assists in a season before getting 100 turnovers. That means no player ever has done that before him. So that tells you how efficient he is at getting assists every single night without throwing the ball away.
But something, man. And I think
they're really well coached.
The whole deal is, like, that's one thing I've said, that they play as a team. They're disciplined. They're well coached. But, like, I think the whole star trend of how people look at them, like, the guys that scores 30 every night, per se, and then has a 15-point game, as you just stated earlier, they're going to come back and get 30, 40 the next night. He's not that type of player. And it's not that people don't respect this game. It's just society talks about the flair all the time. Cause he won the the NBA MVP. I don't think Shai has talked about like a lot of other guys have talked about, just because he's quiet.
Well, here's the thing, B. Mitch. I mean, it's wild to me because we interviewed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? And you know how it is. You post something to social media, you're like, oh, this is gonna blow up. And I'm saying, if I post something about Ant-Man, it's everywhere, right? You go places. Yeah. I asked Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I think I may have talked to you guys about this, about being the face of the league, and he gave the Michael Jordan-esque, like, perfect answer. Like, hey, that's for others to decide. I'm just, happy about this award, and I want people to see what I do. And I feel like if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was in 1995, he would be beloved. But because of today's three-point shooting, he's not a big three-point shooter, crazy passes. He doesn't really make crazy passes above the rim. He doesn't do those three things. He just consistently beats your head in. so he's not, like, viewed in this way. And I think the same thing for Halliburton, right? Like, Halliburton will make nice assists, but outside of that, like, yeah, he'll hit a logo three, but it doesn't look like Steph, right? It's kind of funny looking, and people make memes about it. I think that's the difference. Like, these two guys that we see emerging, potentially going to the finals, aren't as aesthetically pleasing, is what I would say.
And I look at it like this. I think society is confused. Society gets mad at the guy who brags all the time, but then they only promote the guy who brags all the time or who's very voiceless about what they do. You know what I mean? Like, Shea doesn't talk, Halliburton doesn't talk, but they're unbelievable. Listen, if they're on your team or you're a coach, you love them. You want the guy that's going to just come in with his lunch pail and handle his business. But the other guys discuss it. They show flair, and they get rewarded. But we don't seem to reward the guys who we tell everybody to be like.
Well, it's the same thing with the last couple. If you look at the champions the last couple of years, I mean, we could say the same thing about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Right, it was. I mean, we had the same discussion last year. Nikola Jokic, same discussion. And I think what we're starting to see in the NBA is it's so hard, it's such a grind, that the guys that do that are getting overlooked by guys with a little bit more flair, and they're in the quiet ones are the ones winning championships. The quiet there ones are the ones advancing to the finals now.
You know, and think about MJ. MJ had flair. He didn't talk about a lot about who he was. He just handled. He just was in the finals all the time. And I think that's the thing about it where people look at Michael because Mike was so popular. Mike was popular because he was damn good.
And winning rings.
And he was winning the rings consistently. And I think a lot of those guys fall after that instead of the people who say, I'm the greatest player to ever play.
Yeah, I'm not sure Michael Jordan ever even said it once.
No, he never said that one time.
Not one time. And if, I mean, you know this because I'm sure you've spoken to him. Like, he alludes, like, I will beat you at everything, but he doesn't say, like, I'm the greatest, right? Like, he'll say, oh, let's play this, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's golf or cards, he is going to try to annihilate you. But he's not going to, like, say, I'm the greatest to ever do this one thing.
Right. Talking with our friend Chris Miles here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Chris, you can follow his work at Chris Miles TV or on NBA TV. Does a hell of a job. Always doing it with a smile on his face, too, which I really appreciate. Here's something that's interesting.
And that little baby face.
No matter who ends up winning, it sure looks like it's going to be Indy, you know, Pacers versus the Thunder, and I don't think anybody's beating the Thunder. But regardless, I mean, how many straight years are we going now? Four, maybe even five, without a repeat champ?
Seven.
Wow. I think, you know, there's a reason there are people out there that'll make an argument Eli Manning is better than Dan Marino. Dan Marino was 10 times the quarterback Eli Manning was, but Marino never got a ring, right? Mm-hmm. People will make the argument for, like, Clyde Drexler over Charles Barkley. Like, it's just, it's not fair, but rings are what really count to a lot of fans. Championships. Do you think this face of the NBA conversation goes away if one team starts to stack championships?
I think it's an American thing. And truly, the NBA is an international league. Like, you know, you go anywhere in Europe and you're like, wait, I didn't realize the NBA was this popular. I think the whole conversation, because I don't remember this conversation being a thing, it's because the MVPs now are stacking up international. You know, you had Giannis, Joker, now Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Joel Embiid, right? You look at those
guys.
Hold on,
we get to claim Canada, I think.
No, sir.
Yeah, North America.
Yeah.
hey, man, that's going down a different road I'm not getting in on, right? Like, but No.
We're claiming him just because he's in North America. You're not trying to own him.
Yeah.
Other people.
Gotcha. Now,
he played ball at Kentucky. But he
went to school here.
Yeah.
Look, these international players that go to college here, I'm not calling them international players. Right. The ones that just come straight here from there, I'll call them international players.
We may say that, but I'm going to hit you in the head. If Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the way that he walks, the way that he talks, the way that he dresses, was from Harlem or Compton, he would be the face of the NBA. If he was from,
why can't he be from PG, Chris?
Indiana. Yes, this is what I'm saying. He would be the face of the NBA, period. So even in talking to him, I'm like, I forget that he's, quote, Canadian. Because to your point, B. Mitch, he comes across like a guy from L.A. Like, truly.
Yeah.
When you talk, you're like, yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah.
He and Jaden are more alike than anything.
Right.
He acts like Jaden Daniels.
That's my – so I think the reason he hasn't been – like, he doesn't get the same love is because of that, like, connection. Even the Kentucky thing, it doesn't feel like he's tied to Kentucky like some other guys. Like, every sure. time we mention Tyler Herro, it's like Kentucky's own Jamal Murray, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker. It's like
Anthony
part
Davis.
Of the conversation.
Yeah.
With Shane, it also doesn't connect in that way. Like, it's really yeah. strange across the board how the American tie isn't there. And I think that's part of it. And, like, you know, Anthony Edwards, a big part of that is, like, the bravado, and he's Georgia, and everybody kind of gets it. And right. I think that's just missing a little bit with Shane Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's really interesting. The other interesting thing I would say is Thunder T-Wolves is tonight, right, 8:30. Game five, I guess, for the Knicks is tomorrow night. It's entirely possible both these series could get closed out and there's no hoops for a week. Do you think that will impact it at all?
I think one of these series will go to a game six. And if I had to bet on it from how game four ended, I think the Timberwolves are more poised to get another win. And someone yeah. explained this to me. One of the vets was like, you know, the hardest thing is closing out a team. And I'm yes. like, man, the Wolves lost by two. They kind of beat the Thunder in every category, except they turned the ball over too much, right?
Too much.
With the Knicks last night, they looked discombobulated. Like, they really looked lost. Like, they lost their identity. Karl Anthony Towns holding his knee. That felt more like a defeated team, where the Wolves looked like they had the belief down to the final second, like, oh, man, we're not tied at 2-2. We just lost this. How did this happen?
They have to be mentally frail right now, because that game two, and they scored all them points, played as well as they did, was up that much, and lost that game. That's demoralizing.
Are you talking about the Knicks?
The Knicks, yeah, the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and I do think, again, when I watch teams this late in the season, I think of the trajectory of going up. Like, the Wolves are building around Anthony Edwards, right? Like, every move they make, like, if you look at the guys that shined in that loss in game four, it's like Nikhil Alexander Walker, going to be with Ant-Man for years to come. Potentially Naz Reid if they resign him. Dante DiVincenzo fits in perfectly. And Terrence Shannon came in and has some. It's like, oh, all of Ant-Man's guys, right? Like, all right, this is what it's going to be going forward. Let's see if we can push them and make this the longest series. With the Knicks, it seems like, man, can we trust Bridges to take these shots? Is Towns hurt? Why is Mitchell Robinson on the bench? Did Josh Hart play too many minutes late? Like, all of these things are factoring into the discombobulation for the Knicks as opposed to the T-Wolves.
You're right. Like, when the T-Wolves lose, it just seems like the Thunder make one more play. Like, last night with the Pacers and the Knicks, they cut it to, like, six with whatever, maybe 4 minutes left, and then the Pacers just closed them out. Last thing, when that Indy crowd I thought was pretty good, and when they were chanting flopper, it was loud and clear. Do you think that makes any impact?
To me, when I heard that, I was like, oh, the Knicks are about to go on a run. And they kind of did. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I always think, like, when you're playing and you're kind of like going through the motions and you can't get right, and someone starts talking trash to you and you get in your rhythm, I almost feel like that helps a guy like Jalen Brunson. Maybe that affects someone else, but for him, I'm like, he just went to the free throw line 9 times. He shot 9 free throws this quarter. That's really not working, guys. Like, and he made 8 of them, you know?
Right.
I'm like, to me, that's a great chant, by the way. It's unique. It fits what's going on. It shows that they understand the sport, and the whole arena's doing it. But I don't think it had an effect on Jalen Brunson down the stretch, though.
I don't either. Miles, I always appreciate you making time for us, man. The playoffs have been fun, and I just think the Thunder are going to wax whoever they play, but that's why they play the games.
Can I make one final point? I saw someone, I think it was David Aldridge, go full, like, I want my, like, Malawach to be a good fit for the Wizards in the draft. I just want to co-sign that, my friend. Want to make sure I'm on record there.
Okay. Well,
you're co-signing the genius.
Well, yeah, and we'll circle back on the draft before the draft happens. We got a couple weeks on that. Chris,
appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for the time, man. Seriously.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, bro. Gotcha.
That's our boy Chris Miles from NBA TV. Give him a follow at Chris Miles TV. Neil Greenberg joins the show at 11.